Have you ever seen things and read things? Man, you just, you know, you think, you wonder about it sometimes, and you look at it and you say, man, you know, what's that? We're going to read some scriptures this morning that's probably been talked about a lot down through the years, but we're going to be over Mark, the 8th chapter. We're going to read the 22nd down through the 26th verse. And when you get there, if you would, please stand in honor of God's word. We'll read it together, please. Mark 8, 22 through 26. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. He's asking if he's seen anything. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, this is Jesus, he puts his hand again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. I don't know about you, but this miracle here has always fascinated me. Always fascinated me. And I've had to, and I've studied, and I've dug, and I've tried to figure out. And I believe the Lord has showed me something this week that I believe is very prevalent for us, for our church, for the nation, for a lot of different people with this scripture. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come thanking you, Father, for all that you've given us, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for what you've given each and every one of us, Lord. I ask you, Father, now to open up the hearts and the minds that are here. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would open up my lips. Lord, that you would get me out of the way. Lord, that, Father, the anointing would fall. And that, Father, that your word, that your will would be done, and Lord, we will give you the praise for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. You know, I was reading some things. There was a gentleman who went out and took all, you know, like the bulletin board and all that stuff, and all this stuff, like where the people would put ads in the paper and on Craigslist and stuff like that. And he looked at it and he said some of these things were really crazy. But he said a couple of them, which I wrote down. I want you to just think about this a little bit. Free puppies, part German Shepherd, part stupid dog down the road. These are real ads. For sale. Cyclopedia Britannica, Britannica 45 volume set, no longer needed. I got married, my wife knows everything. These were ads that were actually in the paper. Ads. You know, you can understand how when you look at things, sometimes you say, well, you wonder, man, what is this? Well, what in the world are people thinking sometimes, you know? Well, as I read the verses to you this morning, did you think to yourself, whenever you read this, that maybe Jesus was having a bad day? Is why the miracle didn't take place the first time? Or maybe did you think to yourself that maybe this man didn't have enough faith? You know, have you ever questioned why it took twice to do it? Well, down through the years as I've read this, and I've never really heard a whole lot of sermons on this scripture. I'm going to be quite honest with you. Maybe you guys have, but I've never heard a whole lot of sermons on this scripture. Well, this week God had just impressed it upon me, and I've got one here that I want you to, that I feel makes some sense of this whole thing. Of the 35 or 37 miracles, I believe what Paul's been talking about on Wednesday night, do you realize 7 of them dealt with blindness? There were 7 of them that dealt with blindness, and what it was, the recovering of sight, which was pretty amazing considering what back in the day, it was very, very amazing that only something, you know, our Lord and Savior could accomplish. Most of those instantaneously, right? Just like that. But this one not. And all those, and all of these, and listen, in Mark 8, it to me is the most fascinating of them all. The one I just read to you is the one that's the most fascinating out of all those where he restored the sight. It just is to me. Now, like I said, I haven't heard a whole lot of sermons on it. I haven't. I've heard sermons on blind Bartimaeus. Have you guys? You've heard that. I've heard about the man that was born blind. I've heard many a sermon on that. And I've preached, and I've heard sermons based on all that. I mean, I've preached on all that stuff down through the years. You know that I've read this scripture at different times in my life, like maybe you have. I've read it. I looked over what I believe the point that Jesus was trying to get across here. And after he showed it to me through his spirit, and I'm not saying I'm any better than anybody else, but there are times God will reveal stuff to you at times that he doesn't reveal at other times. But I think I overlooked it, and it dawned on me. And I believe the message is for me and is truly relevant for the church today. Very much so. You see, the most important message to gain from Scripture, whenever you read Scripture, and I've heard people say it around here many a time, don't take it out of context. Now, there are times I will pull Scripture out. I've done this. I pulled one verse out, and I've preached on that. And there are times I'll tell you that I've taken it out of context. Well, this Scripture here, if you take it out of context, you're not going to get the point of it. And as it is almost every Scripture, the passage before it, or maybe the passage after it, is what will lead you to what this middle Scripture really means. This is very important to remember as I get into this morning. Now, you're going to have to bear with me a little bit as I set this up, because I want to set it up a little bit to where, as God had showed it to me, and I wrote this stuff down. So I want you to understand, Jesus does something in this miracle that doesn't do in any other miracle in the Gospels. Something odd takes place here. So let's dig into it. Back up to Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. And let's read this a little bit to try to get a little bit. And I may even want to go back into Mark chapter 7 to even get some more context added to it. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? This is important to the scripture that I just read. This next verse. Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. And when he is 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? How is it that you do not understand? Let's read verse 5. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. We all understand when you read that scripture, Jesus wasn't talking about physical leaven here, right? We know that. He's talking about spiritual leaven. He's talking about something spiritual. We all understand it. This is not physical. He's talking about spiritual. But we see the disciples didn't see it, didn't get it. They didn't understand. They were looking at the physical side of it. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you this morning, this is important when you're trying to understand the miracle that is about to take place. This is so important because there's a lot of people out there today that want to see the physical and have no idea what it's about is the spiritual side of things. It is important for us to understand that this morning. Verse 16 tells us of that chapter 8, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. You see, Jesus is talking to them, trying to get across to them a spiritual application, and the disciples are hearing it in a physical way. How many times have we listened to something and we take it as a physical when God is trying to get a spiritual point across to us? We do it all the time. This pastor that you're looking at has done it at times. We need to understand when God is trying to speak to us in a spiritual realm, and we look at it in the physical. In verse 21, Jesus just lays it out bluntly at the end of it. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? There's time, Belinda, when the wires touch in my mind, and I understand. You get it? And there are times that it takes me a long time to understand. And it has taken me a long time to understand this healing of this blind man. But praise his name, I believe God has given me what it's about. I can't get through to you guys. This is what Jesus is saying. I can't get through to you guys. How can I get the lesson across to you? That there is a spiritual realm out there. How can I get it across to you? There are two miracles in the Gospel of Mark that are not found anywhere else in the Bible. Did you know that? This is one of them. The blind man, where he spit on his eyes. And another one was back in chapter 7, the deaf man. Where he touched his ear, spit and touched his ear. Those two are not found anywhere else in the Bible. This is why I'm telling you, this is so important to put everything into context this morning whenever we look at this miracle that we're going to talk about here shortly. Mark 7, the last seven verses. And in both miracles, Jesus does something very unique. He uses spittle, touching of his hands to heal them. Very unique. Nowhere else, there may be one other, I think there's one other application in the Bible where Jesus spit. But I think these two right here are just unique to Mark. We have the healing of a deaf man, and we have the healing of the blind man. Sandwiched in between these two miracles, he's having this conversation with his disciples about them not understanding. They don't understand. Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember? He's telling them, the lesson is too obvious for them. And I'm here this morning to tell you that the lesson was too obvious for me as well. He's telling them, disciples, you're that deaf man. You're that blind man. And I'm going to give you an object lesson as to why you are. That's the reason, verse 21, how is it that you don't understand? That's part of the context of this miracle that we're going to talk about. I said, about where seed happened and the uniqueness of it. And I said, praise God. He said, also, there are areas where these miracles took place. This is so important. The area where this miracle took place, where Jesus performed more miracles than any other place in the Bible. Did you know that? Up around Capernaum, up around Galilee, if you read through your Bible, the Bible states many miracles. Jairus' daughter, the woman, I wrote these down, the woman with the issue of blood when I went back and looked, the feeding of 5,000, the calming of the storm on the sea, the widow of Nain, remember the son who he touched and he rose from the dead? And the maniac of Gadara. He said, the man with the withered hand. All those were performed around that area. All this took place in that region. The reason that I mention this is the people in that area had seen miracle after miracle after miracle. They had seen it. And not to mention, and I know you agree with me on this, there was countless other miracles that Jesus did that were never recorded in the Bible that happened up around us. The Bible says it in John 21, 25. It says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did that which, if they should have been written, that there wouldn't even been enough books to contain it all. Now just think about that. All the miracles that took place. I believe so many took place in that area that not one individual, not one woman, man, or child hadn't heard of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there's people out there in this world today that hear of Jesus and they just go on their merry way. They could care less about the saving grace of God. They could care less where their soul was headed. I have talked to many a person. I talked to a person up work here a year or so ago. And we were talking about a certain subject. And at the end of the conversation, as I realized I wasn't getting nowhere, I said this to him. I said, make sure that you are right before you leave this world. That's how my heart broke. Make sure that you know this Jesus that I'm talking about before you leave this planet. That is how important it is. They had the people in that area had either seen a miracle or heard him preach, and if they wanted to believe, they had plainly had the evidence. There are people out there today, they have heard the gospel, and if they wanted to believe, there's no reason why they could not find an altar somewhere, get on their knees, and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Whether it be at their house, whether it be at a church, whether it be at work. An older gentleman I knew got saved up at Elk Camp, up in Marietta, many years ago, in a basement up there with pumps blurring around him. He said the conviction of God came down upon him so much that he got saved right there. God can save you anywhere. This is why this morning the scripture is so important. This is the last miracle Jesus performed around Bethsaida. This was the last miracle he performed in Galilee. A month later, he was going to the cross. This was the last one. And when Jesus came to Bethsaida that day, listen to me. I want you to understand this. He did not intend to heal anybody in that city. He wasn't going to heal anybody in that city. Now hear me out. He didn't do any public teaching, as a matter of fact. He was done with that area. He was done with it. He wasn't going to do any more. He was heading towards Jerusalem. And in the end of his public ministry had begun. As a matter of fact, as I said, this was the last month of it. Man, God showed me so much. I went down so many rabbit holes this week, you won't even believe. He had not come to perform any miracles there. None. I believe the only reason that Jesus did this miracle was for an object lesson for his disciples. Because having eyes to see, they could not see. Having ears to hear, they could not hear. There's something these disciples weren't getting. And he wanted to do it. I'm going to give you an illustration, he telling them. And listen, you are so blind. And he had that blind man step forward. But you know what he did? He took him out of Bethsaida. Did you get that? He took him out of there. He wasn't going to heal him in that city. And I'll tell you something else. That man wasn't from that city. We'll get to that here shortly. And I'm going to, he said, and I believe with all my heart, he would have walked away from that blind man that day and left him blind. I believe he would have if it wasn't for giving one more lesson to his disciples. What makes this miracle so interesting to me is because it was so odd. It was so odd the way that it was done. And as I looked at it, as I read about it, and I thought to myself, man, Jesus, you weren't having a bad day. You're God incarnate. Jesus does it in such a way, you never said when you read this and wondered why he did it. This preacher has. I've read it and wonder why he did it that way. Here God is in human form. He did not make a mistake the first time he touched his eyes. I want you to understand that. He didn't make a mistake. My God doesn't make mistakes. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought to touch him. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say they besought to have him healed. It said they besought to touch him. Also notice in verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. How many of you believe Jesus could have touched him right there in that town? And made him whole right there. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't even have to touch him. We've read other scripture where he just said the word. He said, by your faith, let him. And they were healed miles away. My God doesn't do anything without a reason. He took the blind man by the hand. I'll heal you, but not here. Jesus takes him by the hand, leads him out of Bethsaida. My question is, what does he have against Bethsaida? Look at verse 26. After he heals him, he tells him this. And he sent him away to his house. Now get this, saying, neither go into Bethsaida, that means a town, nor tell it to any other town. He told him to go to his house, but his house wasn't in Bethsaida. You get it? He said, you go to your house, but you don't go back here and tell them in Bethsaida what I did for you. You don't go back here and do that. He's telling him, you go back to your house. He didn't tell him not to tell anybody. He said, you just don't go back there and tell them in Bethsaida. What was that about? The man must not have been from Bethsaida, and he wasn't. You see, he does not tell him to keep. You remember other healings that Jesus did? He told them to keep it quiet because my time had not yet come yet. He was a month away from being crucified. His time was getting near. He didn't tell him not to go tell. He just didn't want him to tell certain people like Jesus had done. He doesn't. Look back at 8, 11, and 13 for a minute. I know I'm bouncing all over the place, but. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven and tempting him. Are you kidding me? For 3 years, our Lord and Savior had roamed this earth. Countless numbers of miracles and the teachings and the things that Jesus had done. And these people dare come to him and ask him, show us another sign. Jesus had had enough. He was done showing them signs. And especially in the region of Capernaum, he was done. See what he did? And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doeth this generation seek after a sign? How many more signs can I give you? We live in a day and age where people think that God owes them something. He owes them a sign. He owes them a miracle. He owes them this. What? Are you kidding me? He sent his son to die upon a cross to save the lost. He has performed miracle after miracle these last 2,000 years. We've seen countless people saved. We've seen bodies healed. What more does God have to do? Nothing. Nothing. He doesn't owe the United States of America one thing. He doesn't know this world one thing. He has given it all. And it's up to us to take it the way that he sent it to us and accept him how it is. And he goes on to say, verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, entering into the ship again and departed to the other side. The next place he goes is to Bethsaida. From that point, that's where he goes. Now turn with me to Matthew 11, because this is important. Matthew 11, beginning with verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, who? Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. If the mighty works which would have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Tell me there's been a nation more blessed than this nation. God has worked and given mighty things to this nation down through the years. Folks, we're no better than Bethsaida today. Don't expect mighty signs and stuff, whereas we continue down the path we are. Jesus had no intention to heal this blind man in Bethsaida. That's why I said that earlier. He had no intentions of it. He had no intentions of even teaching there. He comes and the folks bring, but he goes into this town, and here comes these folks from another town bringing this blind man to him. And Jesus takes him out of the city limits and heals him. And I'm here to tell you, he told that man not to go back into Bethsaida. If that man would have went back into Bethsaida, blindness would come back upon him and worse. He told him not to do it. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town, and when he had spit on his eyes, he said, he put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Jesus asked him, do you see anything? Now name me one other miracle in the Bible where Jesus asked the person he was healing if it worked. Not one. Not one. He didn't ask the woman with the issue of blood, well, you go home and monitor yourself for a while and see if it worked. He didn't do that. He didn't ask the man that was blind from birth, how many fingers am I holding up? Jesus didn't do that. That's the way. So in our mind, what should have happened? Whenever Jesus touched this man, he should have immediately got 20/20 vision, right? Didn't happen. And there's a reason it didn't happen. And I believe it goes back to the disciples. He asked it. He didn't ask the lame man, well, get up and walk and let's see if it's working. He told him to take up his bed, did he not? He didn't ask. Listen, I'm telling you, but here Jesus asked him if he saw aught. Do you see anything here? Do you see anything, man? What do you see? Jesus knew full well what he was doing. He knew it. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Can I tell you something else that I drew out of the scripture this week? This man was able to see before. He wasn't born blind. You know why? How did he know what a tree was? How did he know what a tree was? The Bible also says, on down there, it said it restored his sight. Listen, never seen before. Jesus doesn't do anything halfway. When he saved me, he didn't save me halfway. He doesn't save you halfway. If you're born again here this morning, you're born again. The Holy Spirit resides in you. It's nothing halfway. He didn't do this halfway. No, the Bible tells us in verse 25, and after he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, he was restored and saw every man clearly.
Look at the passage where Jesus takes the blind man out of town. Isn't this the way you read it? He takes the blind man out of town. He spits on his eyes. He asks him if it worked. And the man said, kind of. Is that what your Bible kind of says? Is that what it says? Well, it says to me. And then the man says, but everything's blurry. Jesus said to him, hold still, let me try it again. That's what your Bible says, right? I mean, if you want to get it in our words, that's what it's saying. And Jesus touched him again, and this time it worked. Praise God. So here's my question this morning to all of you. And anybody sitting out there, whose fault was it? Again, I ask at the beginning that this man didn't see the first time. Was it Jesus' fault? Was he just having an off day? or everyone is not at their best every day, right? But we're talking about God incarnate here. He doesn't have off days. Or maybe it was the blind man's fault. Maybe it was his faith. But can I tell you something? I know of a man named Lazarus who was dead and didn't have any faith. And Jesus healed him. Amen? Of course I've read about, of course we've read about that. So was it his fault? Jesus was able to heal him. It's a strange story. It really is. But I try, and this time it works. That's what Jesus is saying. And this time it works. So what's the point? Why did Jesus do it twice? I'm going to tell you why. I think he did it twice. His disciples could see, but not clearly. Their vision, their spiritual vision was blurry. And Jesus wanted to show them something. He wanted to show them that, listen, just like this, you're just like this man right here. You could see, but you couldn't see fully. You think you know what you see, but until I touched you again, you could not see clearly. And can I tell you this morning, there are people sitting in churches today, praise his name, that you know what? They can see some, but they do not see clearly. They're not the spiritual darkness, the spiritual blindness that are lost, but praise God, they may have got saved one day, but they have sat in church, they've not grown, and they're looking out there on things, and they see things that are not in a spiritual way, but still in a physical way, and God's saying, I want to touch you and make it spiritual in your life. I believe that's why Jesus did this, was for his disciples, to show them, you're not quite where you need to be yet. Because I believe he had just said the disciples had dullness of, he just said it, they had dullness in their seeing and in their hearing. Having eyes you see not, having ears you hear not. You see that they had been touched by Jesus, but their spiritual sight was dull. Man, there's a lot of people like that. I didn't see things clearly. And Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a lesson. I'm going to show you. I'm going to heal this blind man to show you just exactly why you don't see things spiritually. I want to show the disciples where you stand spiritually. Can I ask you this morning, and this is just as, I want to be as blunt with you this morning as I can be. I'm not standing up here saying that you're lost. But there's maybe some in here who are. But what I'm asking you are you looking with your spiritual eyes or are you looking with your physical eyes this morning at things? Because that's not, Jesus wants us to open up our eyes to the spiritual realm and understand that he has this thing in control. You can see, but you don't see clearly. You can hear, but you're not really, you're not really listening. And just like this blind man, you are dependent upon me, Jesus is saying, for another touch. Listen to me. I've had to go back for touch after touch after touch. There's nothing wrong with that. Because I need his touch. I need it. in order for me to see clearly. There are four stages of spiritual sight. Did you know that? There's blindness. And the Bible talks about that over in 2 Corinthians. It says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They are blind spiritually. They have no sight whatsoever. No in course into what's going on. And it says, the blind to the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then there's partial sight. That's when you first get saved. When I first got saved, I don't know about you, but I didn't know it all. I might have thought I did, but I didn't know it all. And you know, in 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a growing thing. The trouble is, sometimes we decide not to grow. Then there's progressive spiritual sight. As you get into the Word, as you grow, that's when you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's when your eyes are opened up and more truth and more understanding come flowing to you. But that doesn't happen overnight. That's a growing thing. Then there's perfect sight. You know when you get that? When you go home one day. Amen? 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. One of these days we're going to see perfectly. You see, the disciples knew Christ. They had come out of darkness. They had walked with Him. They had seen the miracles. They had, but the thing of it was, their sight wasn't perfect. It wasn't growing and progressing. They still didn't understand Calvary. We see that. They were arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They just still didn't understand. Even at this point, they misunderstood so much of what Jesus had taught them. There was a blind man that had enough sight to see, but not see clearly. There are people like that today sitting in churches. Amen or oh my. Do you remember when you first got saved and you received the sight of the gospel in your being? I remember it. I testify about it here all the time. I know when He came into my life. I know when He saved me. I know when the glorious light of the gospel shined into my heart. I know it. How eye-opening was that? Man, I remember it. I thought everything was just, I mean, puppy dogs and roses. I mean, that's just how my life felt when the Spirit of God came into my life that night. How all you wanted to do was learn more and more about God's Word. And that's all I wanted. That's all I cared about at that time, was learning more and more and more about God's Word and more about Him. Couldn't wait to get to church. I've told you about riding that old bus. I couldn't wait to get on that bus. I was playing basketball back then. I'm going to tell you how this, and this is not bragging on me, but I was starting. I was starting guard on our basketball team. And I told my basketball coach, that I could not be there on Wednesday night because I had to go to church. And my coach said, that's fine. He said, I understand. You wouldn't get that today. But that's how I wanted to know more and more about Him all the time. How eye-opening it was to realize that God was real, that Jesus lived in my heart, and that the Holy Spirit was real. That's the sight I had. And you started growing, and your spiritual eyes started to get opened. But when something happened, you start backing off, and maybe things start getting blurry in your life. I'm telling you, you're Christians. Churches are full of those type of people today. Being a pastor and a preacher all these years,
and talking to other pastors and preachers, there are times I get frustrated and perturbed. I'm just going to be blunt with you. There are times I do. And the other pastors do the same because they tell me that they do. It never ceases to amaze me. And please bear with me on this. Never ceases to amaze me or them at some of the philosophies that are in churches. It never ceases to amaze me some of the decisions that church folks make. It never ceases to amaze me at the mistakes church folks make over and over again. And it never ceases to amaze me the false doctrines and the worldly style of living that infiltrates the churches. Never fails to amaze me. And you may be thinking back here, well, preacher, you're judging me. No, no, I'm not judging you. I let the Word of God do the judging. I'm just telling you what I think. It never ceases to amaze me that that people fall into the same old traps time and time again. That's why without seeing things clearly, that's why without seeing things through the spiritual eyes, we always go to the physical slant of things, do we not? We go to the physical slant of things in this world. If we do not trust God, if we do not want to look at it through spiritual eyes, we will look at it through the physical realm is what we will do. And I'm going to tell you, it's gotten this old boy into a lot of trouble sometimes. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen, I have a problem. I can't be the pastor. I can't have a ministry. I can't be the husband that I need to be, or the father, or the grandfather that I need to be. I can't be the employee that I need to be without seeing things through spiritual eyes. And I'm going to be blunt with you. You can't either. You may not see it. You may not agree with me. But you will never truly be the husband or wife that you need to be without Jesus in your heart. You will never have a ministry that grows and is growing without the leadings and the clarity of Jesus Christ in your life. I'm going to have them come get a song here this morning if they don't care. I wrote one verse of scripture down. I'm going to get back here and read it if I can find it. Psalms 119, 18. As they're getting a song ready here, I want to read this to you. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, open my eyes that I might see how to be a better pastor. That I might see how to have a better ministry. Not for numbers, but that's not what it's about. It's about doing things where people's lives are changed, where people understand what is needed. Father, open my eyes to where I could be a better husband and a better father and a better grandfather. And I could go right on down that list. But I'm telling you, it's true. It is true.